digital marketer. This week, it's part two of our search engine optimization special with Amanda Powell.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Marketer Podcast. I am your co-host, Jenna Snavely. I'm Digital Marketer's content manager in charge of production. And today, we're really excited to be talking with Amanda Powell. She's Digital Marketer's acquisitions manager, and we've already heard from her once. We talked to her a lot about skyscraper content, and now we're going to be continuing the conversation. Before, we talked a lot about finding the keywords, and now we're going to talk about what to do with those keywords and how to one-up your competition. So today, it's kind of a continuation. Mm-hmm. But Amanda, since the last time you were here with us, you've had a bit of a promotion. So before, you were our SEO manager. And now, what do you do?
So now my title is acquisitions manager. So basically, I'm running anything, any pillar we use to acquire traffic. So I am now in charge of paid advertising as well as SEO. And then I have a team that manages our blog and our social. So we all kind of work together to get traffic organically and get traffic through paid advertising, which has worked out beautifully. It is so much fun.
Good. Yeah. It's so funny because before, you know, as the SEO manager, you're on the marketing team and the editorial team was under the product team. Mm-hmm. It's been something that we just go back and forth on over and over because at Digital Marketer, obviously, our product is content. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of blurs the line. So eventually you just have to say, okay, well, what is? Once you get, I think maybe it's just the size. Once we got big enough, we were able to say, okay, well, here is our blog and our content. Mm-hmm. And this is for marketing.
Yeah. And I think it was, I mean, it is kind of a difficult line to draw because our blog is so hearty that, mm-hmm. I mean, our blog can be considered a product to our customers because each post hopefully provides so much value that
infinite
value that it could essentially any blog post in particular could be turned into a lead magnet or an execution plan. So it does essentially lend itself to the product team, I think. So it is kind of hard, I think, to decide where it lives. But recently it's been super fun to be able to live within marketing because it's makes for easy SEO optimization. And then we can coordinate with our promotions calendar really easily and base our content around some promotions that we have going out at Digital Marketer and then promote that within our social channels and what's going out organically. So it just all comes full circle.
Yeah. It's in a nice little cozy corner right now. And it feels good.
It does feel good.
So when we last talked, we were kind of breaking down skyscraper content. Mm-hmm. And we had talked a lot about finding specific keywords and kind of finding your competitors that aren't necessarily competing for the same customers, but competing for keywords. And so now, you know, when you're breaking down how to find that skyscraper content that you want to be writing and finding those pillars that you want to be stacking on top of, a part of it is, you know, beyond finding the keyword competitors, now actually scoping out your competition and finding out what they're doing. So could you talk a little bit about that phase?
Yeah. So yeah, when we last talked, we were talking about like finding the keywords you have in common with your competitors. And then the next step in the process is narrowing down those competitors. You can't compete with everyone at once, right? You want to narrow down your competition. For us, we joked last time, like we've narrowed down our competition to HubSpot, our perfect frenemy, who we have like a great relationship with, but we compete largely in the search results with. So it's narrowing down the competition. So basically when you're looking in the last step in step two, when you're looking at that keyword gap that you have, what keywords are the most relevant to you? What competitors have the most relevant keywords that could also be relevant to your business? So this next step is all about finding the keywords that are you're not ranking for that your competitor is ranking for. Mm-hmm. So basically what happens is that step two, you find the common keywords so you know that the competition is relevant. And then in step three, you break down those competitors, pick maybe somewhere between 2 to 5, and then just start digging into their content. Put the competitor that you've picked into domain analytics within SEMrush and just let all of the keywords they rank for populate, and then just start diving in. What keyword is relevant to your business that you're not ranking for? Click on the URL that competition is ranking for and start diving into their content. Start like splicing it out. Why is it working? Why is it not working? What page is it ranking on? And being able to kind of do that research and look into the competition's like SEO strategies, look into that competition's content strategies, which is largely what it is going to allow you to kind of hone in on exactly what kind of content you need to build.
I'd love to know. So obviously, there's a reason why you're giving this advice, because mm-hmm. we've done it
yeah.
and we've had success with it.
Yes.
So I'd love to know, is there any, when you did this for us and mm-hmm. you looked at some of our competitors, were there any keywords they were ranking for that you found and thought, why aren't we going after that? And realize like there was a piece of our strategy that was missing. And then when you added it, things, good things happen.
Yeah. And I think we might have talked about this the last time too, but it's a really fun keyword for me to talk about now because it's our prime keyword, which is the keyword digital marketing.
That's huge.
Yeah. So obviously a company that's called Digital Marketer would want to rank for digital marketing. But, you know, when you come in as an SEO, you're like, oh, can we rank for that keyword? Because I think it has like over, depending on what keyword research tool you're using, I think it has over like 40,000 searches a month. Mm-hmm. So for, you know, we're probably like a small to medium sized business. So sometimes that size business can find it more difficult to rank for a keyword of that size. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to base your search volume around the size of your business because it's all based off the audience you're targeting.
So how would you define the size of a business by the volume of keyword? Like what would, if you had like a chart for you are a small business, you should be trying for like this type of volume, like what would that chart look like?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think the like correct like PC answer to your question is that you can't break it down that way.
Yeah.
Like I said, I wasn't expecting right off the bat to be able to rank for something of such high volume. Mm. And I think when you're a small business, you might be able to rank for something 40,000, like that has 40,000 searchers. But I think when you're starting out in SEO, when I first started out in SEO, I was working for a large corporate company and our like keyword structure was just nothing under a search volume of 100.
Hmm.
And then we started to learn like, oh, wait, because we're a large corporate company at this old other business, it was like, oh, we could rank for something of like 20,000 searches a month. Hmm. But even we were still getting value from the, you know, couple hundred searches a month because yeah. they were specific to our business. So I think it depends on like what kind of keywords do you want to rank for? Mm-hmm. If it's very specific and honed in and you're going to look for a very small audience, then maybe you only need a couple hundred, you know, searchers a month to be able to grab them because the search is so specific that if they are searching for it, then they're going to need your business.
Yeah.
If it's more broad, then it's generally harder to rank for, which is why digital marketing is a pretty broad keyword. But to answer your question, what we found was that we did define digital marketing within our ultimate guide, but within the search results of this keyword, digital marketing, everyone was defining it in a very specific manner. Like, what is digital marketing? So when the content team kind of sat down and we were like, how are we going to get this keyword? The obvious answer was, oh, we need to build content around the long-term keyword. What is digital marketing?
Mm-hmm.
And while that seems so basic to us, not even basic, just common knowledge, like, what do you mean? What is digital marketing? That's yeah. what we do. That's what we do for a living. I think that's how people search. And that's what I think we have to keep coming back to and remember, is that sometimes the way we speak isn't the way we search. We're searching very differently than like our vernacular, I guess.
Yeah, we're trying to be more like computers.
Yes, exactly. Desperately trying to be more like computers. Oh, man. But so we did. We built that content into our ultimate guide. We built that content out on the blog. You know, what is digital marketing? And what we saw was, based on, you know, some link, you know, internal linking that we did, because we were able to build out this what is digital marketing piece on the blog and link back to our ultimate guide, which hopefully provides a lot of value to our customers, we were able to start ranking for that really high volume keyword, which has really helped us a lot in terms of organic traffic.
So basically what you're saying is, if it's super duper relevant, no dream is too big.
That's right. No dream is too big. I mean, I think it has to, there has to be patience involved, right? And that's the key to SEO, is that as hard as you work, sometimes you won't see results for 6 months. I mean, I've been in this role over a year now, and we had to work up to getting that like root core digital marketing keyword. We started ranking for it, I think, in January, which was exactly 1 year since I had started at Digital Marketer. We had to do a lot of work technically on the site. We had to do a lot of redesigns. We did a lot of work with our URL structure. So it was a long time coming, and a year sounds like so long to wait, but in the end, it's worth it. We've got, like, holy cow, when you're on page one for these high volume keywords, yeah, you bring in, it brings in so much value to your business, because that keyword is so relevant to our business. So I think when you find that truly relevant keyword, you just have to be patient in order to, like, work your site through SEO strategy to work up to it.
So let's go back to the steps. So if we are finding our competitors, we've narrowed them down. Right. What do we do after that? What's the next step?
So the next step is kind of identifying their gaps. Right. So now you have a list of these 3 to 5 competitors. You can use a tool like SEMrush to see everything they're ranking for. If you're a larger business, you might be using something like BrightEdge or Conductor, which also allows you the opportunity to see any keyword that this website is ranking for. But now it's, you know, you've narrowed down the competitors, you've narrowed down relevant keywords for your business. And the question is to kind of start digging into their content and look at what's working and what's not working in a very specific SEO-driven mindset. And I say that because you have to start going through their content. And I said this in the previous step as well. You have to start going through their content like an SEO. Like, okay, if they're ranking, you know, number 3 for this keyword, means they're like above the fold, meaning you don't have to scroll in the search results, then what exactly is working? Do they have a really cool title tag? Is there an infographic within their content? Is there a video within their content? Is there just like some really cool information that they've highlighted in an interesting way? Are they using interesting images? Or is it the opposite? Like, oh, this competitor is ranking for this keyword that's very relevant to my business, but they're ranking, I don't know, like 25. So they're hidden within the like second and third page of Google. What aren't they doing? Do they not have interesting images? Is their URL structure funky? Do they not have a title tag? Is the meta description maybe not, you know, including some kind of like call to action to drive to the content? And that's how you can start building up your content, which is the next step. So once you've identified these gaps that your competitors have, or advantages that your competitors have because they're using cool types of content, or maybe they've made an SEO mistake and you've identified it, the idea is to build on top of it. And again, we talked about last time, the idea is not to copy your competitors, it's to build something that will be valuable to your customers, that's driving toward the same keyword that's relevant to your business. There's no rule against, you know, going for the same keyword as a competitor. The idea is just building something for your customers that's relevant, that is going to rank. And in order to figure out how to rank, you have to look at your competitors' content.
Well, let's talk about some of those ranking factors. So when you look at the gaps or when you look at even the advantages, mm-hmm. what are some of the most common ranking factors that are that you're seeing that are like building content up and making things hard to beat?
Yeah. I mean, you're like, you know, top ranking factors are looking at the title tag. Is that root keyword or a variation of that keyword included in your title tag? So if we were trying to rank for digital marketing, is digital marketing included in the title tag of my page, which is going to populate not only within the blue link of your search results, but also within the tab that someone sees when they click on your page of content. And even if we're trying to rank for, you know, digital marketer or marketing, I can include a variation of that keyword in my title tag as well, which is also helpful to Google because it knows like the general subject matter mm-hmm. that you're trying to rank for. So a variation or your primary keyword within the title tag, and then a variation or hopefully your primary keyword within your URL, and then primary keyword or variation secondary keyword within your headline, your H1. And then including it in a way that flows within the content. So the idea is not to stuff the content with that keyword. The idea is that it should come naturally as you build out the content. And what our managing editor here and I have talked about a lot as she's building out blog posts and working with contributors is that if a contributor is trying to build a piece of content around a specific keyword and then that keyword doesn't show up, you know, 5 to 7 times within the content, that's probably not the subject that we're talking about.
Yeah.
It should naturally appear in content that you're writing mm-hmm. just because that's the subject matter that you're talking about. Yeah. That's the word that you're, you know, trying to rank for. Then it should naturally occur in whatever subject you're writing about. But if you have to try to stuff it into the content, it's probably not the right keyword.
Yeah, you should probably find something else yeah. to be. Yeah,
yeah,
that makes sense.
But those are the main ones. And then I think the big one, which I had mentioned, was, you know, an internal linking strategy, right? So that's, you know, trying to make sure that your website is connected through a web of links. So if we're writing a post called "What is Digital Marketing?" on our blog, then we need to be linking back within the content to our ultimate guide where people can truly learn chapter by chapter what digital marketing is.
So I'd love to hear some maybe specific examples of things that we have added to our content mm-hmm. once we realized, oh crap, they're they're beating us out on this keyword and we need to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things we've added?
Yeah, so I think we've started really honing in on infographics. In our Ultimate Guide to Digital Marketing, we actually created a few months ago in late 2018, we added in Kayla would kill me. I'm not sure exactly what it's called, but it's like a horizontal infographic. You can scroll left to right through this infographic, through the different like short snippets of the different chapters of digital marketing. And it's super cool because you don't have to scroll through and read the content scrolling down through the ultimate guide. You can scroll left to right with like a really cool image. And that we've started actually doing that on a lot of our content. Like we recently just republished our ultimate list of blog post ideas through an infographic. So that was originally, I think, like a 2,500 word blog post. And then it did so well that we had bumped it up to like a 3,600 word blog post. And then that did really well. So then we were like, this should just be an infographic. And we turned it into an infographic and people love it because they can print it out. They can stick it next to their desk. It's super simple to read through. It's consumable. But other things we've done is we have an amazing video team here at Digital Marketers. So our best blog post that continually gets more traffic than our homepage is 101 best email subject lines.
Mm-hmm.
And we revamped that into intonations of the inbox.
Oh, that's such a good video.
It is such a good
John
video.
John Grimshaw, bless you.
Yeah, hilarious. Just so in tune with like the digital marketer brand and our voice. And it needed to be built into something like that because it's such a high value blog post that it needed like a video that was just as quirky to go along with it.
That was the first silly video we did.
It was.
Man, yeah. we should definitely have an episode on our video strategy. I should talk to Doug and Sam sometime about it.
You should. Yeah. I mean, they just get better and better by the day. But that was, that was kind of like the first in the series. And yeah, now we have like really cool agency content for our certified partners that we had like agency tips go out on the blog that we now have a really funny like client say video that goes along with like agency tips and tricks or tips and tricks for running an agency. So, you know, all of that different forms of content has really, I think, built up our strategy and kind of lifted us in a way that has been really positive.
Yeah. So we're going to have people listening right now that are search engine optimizers, SEOs, and we're going to have some people who know nothing about it mm-hmm. and are just trying to get a handle on the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask a question I'm wondering, and hopefully you out there, this is a good question for you. So when you take content, for example, that has been 3,600 words mm-hmm. and you change it to an infographic, mm-hmm. how does Google search that and why does it work for Google? Why does Google like that?
That is an excellent question.
Yay.
So technically, which you can do, it is possible to make an infographic, the text searchable, but at what I've been told from a designer perspective is that it's difficult. So what we have done is we still keep the blog post in text format.
Oh.
And then we put the infographic above it and the blog post lives below it. That way they both live on the same URL, they both live on the page, but Google can crawl the blog text and our readers can get value out of the infographic.
So it's just an additional... Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a great question. Yeah, because that was the issue, because we know that our users and us, just as regular humans, consumers, people that work at, like, I love infographics, right? They're super easy to consume. They're like easier on the eye mm-hmm. than trying to like read through a really long blog post. But the search engines sometimes don't like them as much. So we keep the content below it. And then put the infographic above it. And the same thing with the ultimate guide, like our horizontal infographic where you can scroll left and right within the ultimate guide, the content still lives below it. So it's still searchable.
So literally the only change you made then was adding an image or adding a video. So what are some of the results that you saw specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I think... So when Google sees there's a change on your page, eventually they'll recrawl the page. But the idea is that if we're providing customers value and we promote it in the right way, then people are going to get value at it and they're going to share it and they're going to click. So that's kind of the idea coming full circle to why content and social and paid promotions are now under the same mm-hmm. team. Because when Google crawls that, we need people to see it. So we promote it within either the paid channels or social organic channels. And it's built by built by Becky, who's our team of one right now, who manages our blog. But we promote that in different ways in order for our audience to see it. And the hope is that by providing different ways to consume our content provides more value and then provides more traffic, which it does. So we've kind of hopefully cracked the code, and that's the idea of SEO, is providing valuable content that your customers like, not crawlers.
Yeah.
So, but when you provide value to your customers, you naturally get more traffic, and then Google starts to rank you because you're getting more traffic. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that we promote it in different ways in order for our customers to access the content. And then through the promotions, people start to see that there's been an update and start to utilize it, hopefully, to help their business.
Well, you heard it here first. We cracked the code.
Uh-oh.
And also, just remember, Google's not your customer.
That's right. That's like the perfect way to phrase it.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we've pretty much done done it.
Yeah,
today.
I think we've done it.
Do you feel
it.
Good about
I feel good.
What we've done? And before we go, there's one thing that you're working on that's very exciting.
It is.
And that is your very first Elite Workshop. Could you tell us a little bit about what that will be about?
Yeah, so it is SEO 101, crafting a strategy that works for your brand or business. And we are going to go through kind of a little bit about what we talked about today. And then we're going to start working through like the in-depth kind of strategy behind keyword research. So, you know, we'll definitely talk about this strategy within the workshop. And then we'll talk about, you know, some other strategies you can use to really start to hone in on your own SEO strategy and what's really going to work for your business.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
That's awesome. And if you don't know what a Elite Workshop is, my dear listener, they're awesome. They're one day, full day live workshops that you can attend live in office or you can stream virtually. And the point is to get something done, something that you're going to implement over the next 10 days. So if in the future you have 10 days to set aside to work very, very hard on producing and implementing an SEO strategy, this is the one for you, especially if you're new to this and especially if you just need a little leg up, you're not sure where to start. Especially if you're doing this alone, I think that it will be incredibly helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Learn to crack the code.
Yeah, learn to crack the code. The Da Vinci code. I've said too much.
We're what going, have you done?
We're going to steal the Constitution. That's not the Da Vinci Code. That's different. But Amanda, thank you so much for your time today. I'm really excited for your workshop. And this was just an awesome conversation as usual.
Thanks, Jenna. It's always fun to chat.
It is. We got to do this for work today.
You've been listening to the Digital Marketer Podcast. If you like the show, hit that subscribe button. And for more information, go to digitalmarketer.com/podcast. Thank you for listening.
Hey, DM listeners. If you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up. Because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and three unique design themes for each holiday. The promo pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.